Last year, we at some point took up a survey, a green sheet that you indicated some interests in. The next few sermons are an attempt to address one of those interests. How do I know who God is, and how do I know what God's will is for me? How do I know? How do I know? I remember not so many years ago, I had occasion to encounter a person who I had difficulty respecting. This person had done some things that were not pleasant, not kind, maybe even unethical. And in my disgust and in my lack of respect, I repeated some gossip that could have been or may not have been true. The upshot of this whole episode was that I was led to remember that I could only deal with what I knew, not what I wished was so, and not what I hoped was so, or not what I imagined to be so, or not what somebody else told me so, but what I knew. And from that time, I have always been concerned about how we know as Christians and how we know as people and how we are to find truth and trust what we know or question some of what we assume. A lot of questions buried in that. I invite you to kind of sit back and think with me, and I will hopefully set forth a place where we can begin, a place where we can understand ourselves working out of the Christian tradition, not necessarily to exclude others, but more to encourage and be firm in who we are and what we believe. At no time can we say to somebody else, because you do not believe the way I do, you are destined completely for hell. We don't know that. There's still time. God works in wonderful ways, and this will be an affirmation of that. And I offer this as a way of beginning to strengthen what we do know. Thomas Oden, who is a systemic theology professor at Drew University in New Jersey, writes that revelation is any act by which God makes God's self known in human history through particular events of nameable people in order that humanity writ large, which means humanity, all of it, may become more responsive to the disclosure of divine goodness. I want to take that apart for us today because the truth of the matter is that Christianity and Judaism and Islam at their very roots are revealed religions. Now, revelation and being a revealed religion takes some heat. We live in a scientific world and we live in a place where discovery and curiosity are encouraged. And I will suggest to you that there really is not going to be a full outscale attack on scientific method or curiosity, doubt, or discovery. When we talk about revelation as a Christian concept, we're talking about who God is and what God's purposes are and how God makes that known. And we want to confine our discussion to those things and look at the other options so we understand where we are. When we say that Christianity is a revealed religion, we are telling people and affirming for ourselves that God is both about spirit and about material creation. Things you can see, and things you cannot see. Now, this is important because there are other alternatives out there that may seem appropriate to adopt. For instance, there are some who will argue there is nothing spiritual at all. That all things that you can see, touch, feel are all that exist. There is no spirit world, there's just the physical world. And there are people who believe that. Christians do not. There are others who will say the material world is nothing but an illusion. What you see, what you touch, what you experience is not really important. That what is important is the spiritual world, that large place of unknown. That felt and yet untouchable presence. And that what we experience in creation physically is not real. There are others who say that the spiritual is contained in the material. That whatever godliness, whatever spirit is present in our world is contained in creation. That God inhabits the physical so that in some way the sum total of all that is physical is the sum total of God. And while each of us may not be able to comprehend the wholeness of that, it is contained within the physical. And then there are some who will suggest that our world, our reality, is created by what we do with each other, by the language we use to talk to each other, by our imagination, by our rationality discovering things and how we talk about it. Those are the options. Those are worldviews. Those are ways of thinking about God. Some of them exclude God entirely. Some of them limit God. Some of them exclude human beings. Some exclude persons. Revealed religion talks about how God, beyond creation, out of God's own desire and plan and willingness, made all things. God did not have to do this. God chose to do it. And when we look at the stories that the Bible tells us, they tell us of a God who did so with compassion, good order, and love. It tells of a God who has an interest in each of us. And it tells of a God who is interested not only in each of us as persons, but interested in us as a community, and interested in us as part of creation. And so the spiritual and the material don't become opposites, but they become part of the same whole, part of the same reality. And where human beings, while certainly a special creation of God, cannot divorce themselves from the reality that there's a physical world around them, nor can they divorce themselves from the reality that there is a God who seeks them. That God even now, is evermore pressing in upon us, upon every human being, to bring about a greater responsiveness to divine goodness. Now, this is very important because this is a worldview that contradicts most of what we hear around us. It might even contradict some of what we believe. But the basic center of the Christian faith is that God has made all things and holds all things together, not for wrath's sake, but for our sake, having reconciled us, all humans, so that the kingdom of God may hold forth, now temporally here and imperfectly, but in the future perfectly and fulfilled in glory. That there is a progression from point A to point B. There is a chance that things will get better. There is a challenge to be faced. There is a God who will help us meet that challenge and overcome the hurdles. That there is a God that is for us and not against us. That there is a place for us in all of creation that is made for us. And that you and I can act in this world trusting this God, knowing that this God has chosen to reveal himself for us, not depend upon our own ability to discover him, not our own ability to imagine him, not our own ability to rationalize him, not our own ability to make him come by magic, but that God chooses to put God's self in our situation to draw us closer to God, and that that's what God is doing now. If God wasn't this way, if God wasn't pressing in upon us with a loving desire for our own good, do you think we would experience the wonders of God's love in the creation we see around us, in the love that each of us share for each other, and even in the love that forgives and the love that suffers? And yet, somehow, each of us have experienced some suffering that brought love, forgiveness that has brought reconciliation and love, acceptance that made us feel whole, an embrace that made us feel love. We know, not in a scientific or rational way, not so we can always understand it, but we know that there is a God who cares and loves for us. And we know that this God cares and loves for every person we might ever meet. And that's a real challenge as well, because all of us have met some people who surely didn't deserve it. But God did not start this project on a whim. It wasn't by chance, and it doesn't go on and on without end. It just isn't a cycle or a watch that is allowed to run down. God reveals God's love and presence and power to humanity writ large, so that human beings and humanity, you and I, and anybody else, may respond ever more quickly, ever more deeply, ever more thoroughly to divine goodness. That's the center. This is a revealed religion, a revealed God. Now, God has given many gifts for us to experience that divine goodness. And we'll talk about those in the weeks to come. But at the very core, this is the Christian worldview. It is the view that God is for us and not against us. Let us pray. Lord, center us in your love. Help us to know you. Help us to consider our own efforts to be responses to your love. Help us to respond with discovery, question, imagination, even our doubts, even our anger. Help us to respond to your goodness as it presents itself to us today and every day. In Christ's name we pray.